and I could very clearly feel like someone had sat down on the bed next to me.
My one sister, Teresa, come literally floating down the stairs. She never touched those stairs coming down.
One night we went downstairs, we heard a bang like something had fallen. Several doors in the kitchen cabinets were open, like wide open.
But there's very distinct audio on one of the videos that says, open the door. It's a very nasty, demonic sounding voice.
So that is my ghost story.
Hi, and welcome to Haunted AF. This is the podcast of real ghost stories told by real people. We are your hosts. I'm Julie Fiss.
I'm Rebecca Black.
And coming up in just a little bit, we've seen this guy in the news, Brent Underwood. He was quarantined in a ghost town, in a haunted ghost town.
I love it so much. Dude had like everything coming at him.
I know. It's fantastic. And he's loving it too.
Yeah. And don't forget, you can find us online, hauntedaf.com. You can check out our store. By the way, we got a complaint about plugging our merch too much.
So unfair.
I know, right? It is unfair. This is the only way we can make money. But we did get someone that responded with support for the podcast. We want to give a shout out. Thank you to Kebby123 for having our backs on that. We really appreciate it.
It really didn't even occur to me that we were like shilling our stuff that much.
No, because we really aren't.
But go to the online store, hauntedaf.com anyhow. And another way that you can support us is through Patreon. And we have to say hello to our new patrons. We have Lindsay, Amanda, Haley, Cause a Commotion. And I wrote them.
What?
I was like, do you want me to use a different name? And they didn't write me back. And also from Crystal, we actually got stories from some of our new patrons. You want to read one?
Absolutely. So this first one comes from our brand new patron, Amanda Massey, who lives in Okinawa. So she says, Okinawa is known as one of the most haunted islands in the world and easily the most haunted military installation for U.S. troops. Ooh. I know, right? The number of casualties during World War II were astronomical. Gate 2 of our base, Kadena Air Base, I think I'm saying that right, is supposed to be haunted by a samurai, and there's a cave on base where some schoolgirls committed suicide to avoid American troops.
Oh my God.
Holy crap. Yeah, that's crazy. So if you ever want to go down a rabbit hole, search Okinawa ghost stories. She says, my personal ghost story is rather boring. Since we moved here in 2016, I felt like I was being watched and would catch something out of the corner of my eye. A couple of years ago, my husband took our kids to the park so that I could enjoy one of the greatest thrills of motherhood, showering with no interruption.
Oh, that's true. That's so true.
Thanks to Dad for getting out of the house, right?
Yeah.
She says, that's when I heard a little voice say, Sammy. And Sammy is her son, but there was no one in the house at the time when this happened. I know, right? She says, that's the only time I heard anything. But right before we moved, my bedside table lamp would turn on by itself. I was in bed reading on my phone, and I just noped right on out of the room.
Oh, dude.
I love that she noped.
Yeah. Speaking of lights turning on by themselves, the other night, I was watching TV with the girls, and it hasn't done this in ages, but the lights in our living room started turning on and off by themselves, just kind of like flickering and then turn off and then turn back on. And so they would flicker and turn off, and the girls and I both were going, would you please turn it back on? And it would turn back on again. And then it would like flash, flash, flicker, and then turn off. And we were laughing. We were like, please just leave the light on. And then it just like turned off for good. And I had to go and like reset it to get it to turn on. So I was like, oh, you're back.
Your ghostie was reaching out to you. It wanted you to ask it some questions.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going to pass on that. That's
you didn't want to take him up on the offer?
No. So we also got this one from new patron Lindsay. She says it happened right after her family moved to Michigan from California in 2003. Lindsay says, I was 16 and still slept with the nightlight on. I don't particularly care for the dark. One night, a couple months after we moved in, I woke up out of a dead sleep and I was wide awake. I propped myself up on my elbow to look at the time, thinking maybe I missed my alarm for school. Being a teenager, it obviously took me 3 hours to get ready for school. So it was still generally dark outside when I woke up. As I propped myself up on my elbow, I noticed a little blonde-haired boy standing at the corner of my bed. He had a powder blue church suit with a ruffle shirt, and instead of a tie, it was just a ribbon tied in a bow around the collar. We just stared at each other for like 30 seconds till I blinked and he was gone. Definitely almost peed my pants. Love the show. It keeps me super entertained during the day at work. By the way, she is a mail carrier, which that's the second mail carrier we've heard from recently. So thank you to all of our new patrons. And just a heads up, we are going to go ahead and end season 3 of Haunted AF next week. We're going to have our season finale. We extended the podcast by over 3 months now.
Yeah.
Just because of the quarantine, but we're running out of stories. We need a break. We are burnt to a crisp right now. So I think the June 4th episode will be our last, and then we will return, I think, the second week in August is what we're looking at right now. So in the past, we have done mini-sodes. This time, we are not going to do mini-sodes. We might do some mm-hmm. Zoom things. We might even do some collaborations. I'm talking to some other podcasts right now. So we're going to try a few other things, but we won't be doing mini-sodes. Instead, we will be sharing content on Patreon. And I feel a little cheap doing that. But here's the thing, because we use so many of our stories, we use almost everything on the podcast. It's right. very difficult for us to offer exclusive content. And here's a chance to fix that. So this is a perfect opportunity. Go to patreon.com, look for Haunted AF. It's only $5 a month. And then we will be back in mid-August, like bigger and better than ever before. So again, woo-hoo! Get all the content at Patreon, follow us on all of the social medias, and that's how you can keep up with us during the break. But still keep sending those stories, hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com. All right, so let's get into the stories.
Hi, ladies. So my aunt has a farmhouse, and up until recently, she's never had any curtains on any of the windows. So it was always a fear of mine that one morning I would wake up and look out one of the windows and someone would be staring at me. So one year we were all at my aunt's farmhouse for our family reunion, and unfortunately my cousin passed away. So because of that, not only did we all stay even longer to help my aunt out with everything, but more people came in. So her house was completely full. All the bedrooms were full. So a lot of us ended up sleeping in the front room, and I was sleeping on the couch, and I woke up early the day of my cousin's funeral. And I looked around, everyone else was still asleep. I kind of rolled over, looked out the window, and there was my cousin staring in at me and kind of looking at everyone in the room. And she looked very sad, and she was kind of like almost more like sepia or pastel colors, like it was a sort of faded. And she was wearing a flower crown and a dress, and she looked absolutely beautiful. But it had always been my fear to look out the window and see somebody looking at me. So as soon as I saw her, I pulled the blanket over my head and closed my eyes. And then I looked back and she was gone. And after that, I felt so guilty for a very long time because I thought that was very rude of me. So every night for a month, I actually had dreams that I was walking with my cousin down a street and we were just having these long conversations. And the first dream I had was me apologizing to her for doing that. And she forgave me and she understood. And ever since then, I've just kind of always felt like she is watching over me. And it's definitely become one of my most treasured ghost experiences.
Okay, and that's coming from Danielle. So when she talks about the flower crown, do you mm-hmm. immediately see Florence Pugh in the flower crown in Midsommar? That's immediately no, what I saw.
Get wrong, but I thought Carol Baskin from Tiger King.
Well, it's not,
I feel it's so not bad as, about that.
It's definitely not as terrifying as Midsommar. So no, I'll maybe go with that one with Carol Baskin. All right, so you've got one.
Yes, Gian, who worked at a popular saloon in Denver called the Grizzly Rose. Gian says, there have always been stories from staff members about seeing or hearing things that they couldn't explain. One bartender even had shot glasses thrown at her one time. My story starts with my first night as a barback. It was a slow night, so it was just me and the general manager. While the GM was counting money in the back office, I was putting trash cans out for the next day. That's when I heard footsteps on the boardwalk that goes around the entire bar to give it like an Old West look. I came around the bar to see if it was my boss, but nobody was there. I stopped and thought maybe it was just the doors rattling in the wind, and that's when I heard the footsteps continue along the boardwalk, go across the dance floor, and go all the way back to the end of the bar where I was standing. I quickly made my way to the back office where my boss took one look at me and knew something had happened. I told her about the footsteps, and she told me that she had heard things late at night as well.
Okay, we need to Google this place. I got to get pictures of it.
I know, right? The Grizzly Rose. It sounds like fun.
So this story comes from Stephanie. She says, I was an activity director in a nursing home in St. Louis. It was the end of the day, and I walked to the other side of the building to talk with a coworker. We sat in the activity room, and as we talked, there was a TV on, and it was just blaring. I couldn't hear anything she was saying, so I got up to turn it off. As I did, she said, don't do that. Mr. Johnson likes it on this time of day to watch his show. I laughed and announced loudly, "Well, Mr. Johnson, I'm turning it off because it's getting on my nerves." Click, I turn it off and turn to walk away. Click, it comes back on. I stopped in my track and the other activity director laughed and said, "I told you so." So I turned around and I go back to the TV and again announce that I'm turning it off. Click, it's off. Click, it's on. Click, it's off. Click, it's on. Finally, she told me that when he passed, he gave his TV to the facility. Evidently, when he was alive, he liked to watch a particular program every day. And since his passing, the TV has come on during that time to that program. Yeah, she says, don't mess with Mr. Johnson's TV time.
Oh, well, hell no. What was he watching? You think Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune?
Or Murder, She Wrote?
What if it's like his stories, like As the World Turns or Days of Our Lives, the soap opera?
I hope it was the Golden Girls. Okay, so this one's coming from Kate.
So this is my first attempt at voice recording this story. It's a little weird. I'm actually standing in my shed. She shed. She I had shed. To find a place I could tell the story without freaking out my daughter, who is 6, and I'm a single mom, and we live in a ranch house. To start my story, I grew up in a house that was built in the 1900s. The first thing I can remember, and I remember it clearly, my bedroom was on the second floor. Across from my bedroom was a tall window, and because it was on the second floor, it didn't have drapes, curtains, whatever, and it had those deep windowsills. So I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I got up, walked to the doorway, which was across from this window, and I looked up out the window, and as I'm looking up, this big black shape flew through the window over my left shoulder, and I physically remember feeling like a rush of wind. So I turn as it's coming past me and I'm feeling it, and I swore it either went under my bed or into my closet, which was right actually at the foot of my bed. So I ran screaming into my parents' room, and of course, they're like, "Oh, it's nothing, you know, monsters under the bed." And I was like, "No, this is real." So they came in, turned the lights on, checked under the bed, checked in the closet, and they're like, "See, nothing here."
Okay, are we all seeing, like, the Dementor from Harry Potter?
100%.
All right, so this next one comes from Katie in Calgary. She says, 4 years ago, we decided to take a getaway to Palm Springs. My boys were 9 and 7 at the time, and my husband was diligent about researching VRBOs. He found us a great little house with a pool in La Quinta. And she gave us the address to this place. Yeah, the property was large and had been beautifully renovated, but the master bedroom felt a little odd. One night, something woke me up, just that mama spidey sense that you can't explain, but I thought one of my sons had woken. The room was pretty dark, but the curtain on my husband's side of the bed was not pulled fully, so a little light filtered in. I turned over and saw my youngest standing by my side of the bed. I asked him if he was okay, but there was no response. So I sat up and put on my glasses and noticed it was actually both of them, but they were standing arm's length away. Why would they do that if they needed me? As I'm processing all of this, I see a third shadow. And it was at this point I realized these small childlike shapes or shadows were not my boys. So I plucked up the courage to ask if they were okay. And of course, I got no response. So she says she laid down for a second just to see if she was dreaming, but she wasn't. And then Katie says, so I sit up and yep, they're still there, maybe about 4 feet away from me. I finally swung my legs out of bed, but the master bed's one of those that's really high off the floor. So I had to look down to place my feet. When I looked up again, they were gone, just empty darkness. I did go into my boys' rooms, but they were both in their separate beds, sound asleep. And I have to be honest, they wouldn't have had time to run back to their rooms and, like, you know, 7 and 9 year old with bare feet on tiles would not be silent no matter how ninja-like they think they are. We had a few days left of our holiday and nothing else happened. I don't know if I was saddened or relieved. I didn't feel threatened during or afterwards, but there was something claustrophobic with that room. I meant to email the landlord and ask him, but this was heading into Coachella and busy, so I forgot. But I'd be interested to know if anyone else had curious experiences in that house. So since she gives the address, I'm going to reach out to the landlord and see, because I feel certain that something else is happening there. But all right, let's see if we can get Brent on the phone.
I'm here.
Yay. Okay, so we have Brent Underwood on the phone. Welcome to the Haunted AF podcast, Brent. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So you're still out there. And how do you pronounce the name of this town again?
The town's called Cerro Gordo, which in Spanish means Fat Hill, because once upon a time it was the largest producer of silver for the state of California.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I have read 3 or 4 articles about you being trapped out there now. And it's like I know more about the silver trade in California in the 1800s, all because of Brent Underwood. So thank you for that. So you're actually, how did you end up moving from Austin out to this old ghost town in California?
I asked myself that same question over the last couple of months. But I was in Austin, and I have a backpacker hostel there, kind of like a traveler spot, you know, in East Austin. And it's in an old Victorian mansion that was built in 1891. So it's kind of this combination of history and hospitality, allowing people to, you know, stay in these buildings that are part of the town's history, I think is just interesting. So I was looking for a little bit bigger project, I guess. And a friend of mine lives in LA, and he saw that on his local blog that a ghost town was for sale. And he texted to me at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, this is a joke, you know, hey, check this out. I know you're looking for a bigger project, you know, LOL or whatever. And I woke up in the morning, I was obsessed. You know, I think from minute one, I started reading about Cerro Gordo, about the history here, and one thing led to another, and then we purchased it, and we closed on July 13th, which was Friday the 13th, which I thought was pretty, you know.
Oh my God.
Yep, apropos.
For a ghost town. For the past 21 years, there's been a caretaker that lives here named Robert, and Robert basically guards the town from looters or anybody that wants to come up here and try to take anything or sniff around. I mean, the town's pretty remote. I'm 30 miles from the closest town. We're up in the mountains, so it's at 8,500 feet. So the final pit to get here is a 7-mile dirt road. So if you get here, you're specifically coming from Cerro Gordo. You don't just happen to pass by this town.
Right.
Robert's lived here for 20 years. And when COVID crisis hit, he wanted to go home to be with his wife. I packed up my truck in Austin, came out here, figured it would be a good time to socially distance, I guess, to the extreme. Nobody was going to be walking the streets out here. And so I expected to be here for a week or two, and that was March 18th, so just over 2 months ago. But, you know, I've been enjoying spending more time up here, so I'm learning the ins and outs and the things that happen around here.
So that's what we want to know about, the things that are happening around.
Yeah, because something like that, I mean, it could go both ways. You could be stranded in your little ghost town in California and fall deeper in love with it, or you could slowly go insane and then, like, you know, lose your mind and start hating the place. Like, so tell us about these weird happenings.
I guess I'll start with, when I bought Cerro Gordo, I was firmly in the non-believer of ghost camp. I had heard the stories. I mean, Cerro Gordo is a place with a pretty rich history of ghost happenings, I guess. It was a town that back in the day, the police didn't go up to. They figured they would let the miners figure themselves out on their own. So there was a murder a week here. There's a lot of history books say that the miners would line their bunk beds with sandbags to stop stray bullets in the middle of the night.
Wow.
There's one or two infamous ghosts that haunt it. I mean, there's a cemetery here. I'm looking out the window. There's a cemetery with, you know, over 100 miners here, you know, and then not to mention the ones that are beneath the city. You know, there's 30 miles of mines, and grim as it is, a number of miners never made it out of the mine. And so the setting is right for certain things to happen, but I was able to push all those out of my mind prior to buying it. But I think the first kind of thing that started moving me along the scale was one night I was here, and I like to watch the sunset up on this one peak that overlooks Death Valley. So I was walking by a building called the Bunkhouse. The Bunkhouse was built in 1900, so about 120 years ago, and it originally housed some of the transient miners that would come and work. And so as I was walking by, somebody definitely looked out the kitchen, opened the curtain, closed the curtain, and the light was on in the kitchen. And, you know, I was able to rationalize, like, well, you forget to turn on the light, and there's a draft, and blah, blah, blah. And I went in, there was no draft. The light switch was flipped on. I flipped it off, and then I put a padlock on the door, a master lock that only I have the key to, and kind of went upon my way, tried to forget about it. And then the next night, as I went back up to see the sunset again, the light was on again in the building. And I know that I'm the only one with the key and saw that the light switch was once again on. And it's just one of those moments where I guess it was like defining in my progression along the paranormal scale, where I know that nobody else is up here.
Right.
I told to a friend, and he's like, oh, there's squatters. Like, there's no squatters up here. It's like, I'm 8,000 feet in elevation. I'm 30 miles from any town. There's no food or running water here. Nobody can just hang out here.
Like, right.
And then maybe 2 days later, I live in a house called the Belshaw House. And it was originally built by this guy named Mortimer Belshaw. And he was the main man around town back in the day. He owned all the mines. He owned the general store. He owned the road.
Right.
But the room I live in, when we came up here at first, everybody kind of like wandered around and we all found our comfortable rooms. And the room that I like is a large room with a big closet. Right outside of my room is a bookshelf. And one night, I woke up in the middle of the night because a book just fell off the shelf. And this is not a house that has drafts. Mice could not have moved this book that was that big. The scariest part about that is knowing that a book just fell off the shelf and there's no other human being that could have done it. And then second, the TV show Ghost Adventures had come up here maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah.
That was when I was pretty much in the, eh, I don't think it's ghosts, you know, whatever. And then they did a big investigation of the whole house, of the whole town. They brought out their, I don't know, meters in the middle of the night or whatever they are. And they determined that the room that I live in, specifically the closet of the room that I live in, two of Belshaw's children died in a trunk in there in a game of hide and seek. And haunt that room. And they talked to the town historian and they confirmed that yes, Belshaw did have two children who died in a game of hide and seek in this specific room. And so when you get awoken at 3 o'clock in the morning for a book falling off the shelf, you suddenly remember all these things, which definitely doesn't help you sleep any better.
Yeah.
Say the least.
So has your groundskeeper, Robert, has he confirmed like any of these stories? Have they happened to him at all?
Yeah. So when I told Robert about the Belshaw house, he said that he was staying in there, this is about 15 years ago, when they're working on the building he lives in now, and that in the middle of the night, he got the wind knocked out of him, and it felt like somebody was jumping on his chest in the middle of the night, living in the exact room that I was sleeping in. And I didn't know the story. This wasn't a story that I had like in my back pocket of knowledge.
Right,
this is only since I relayed to him the story that I had. He was like, oh yeah, well, that's because that room is haunted. And for him, it's very like factual thing. It's not even like a, he's just like, oh yeah, it's because it's haunted. And I was like, great. And then, you know, as you imagine, over 20 years, he has a variety of tales. And the room that I'm sitting in now, the card room, it's the room just to the left of the saloon. And it's where the miners are coming up by cards. And apparently there was a card game that went really awry. And there's a bullet hole in the wall. And there's still this remnant of a blood stain on the floor. And a guy named Alphonse Benoy was killed in the room. Independently, lots of guests that have come up over the years say that as they go to the back of the saloon, if they look out the back left window, they see this very similar portrait of a miner with a very chiseled jawline and a beard. They all say the exact same thing. And that's, I guess, Alphonse, who was murdered here 140 years ago and never left.
And that's the room you're sitting in right now.
Yeah.
That's the room I'm sitting in. I'm a little bit, it's sunny at least right now, and I have the lights on, so it's not as spooky to me at the moment. But if we were having this conversation in 12 hours and it's middle of the night, there would be no way I'd be.
You know, I was going to say, like, how are you even keeping yourself sane right now, knowing that all this stuff is going on and it's been confirmed by so many other people?
The only way that I've managed to get sorted out or handle it, I kind of have found where I feel the most uncomfortable. I know that the bunkhouse is, I don't like being in there. I feel an overwhelming sense that I should be in there. So I just don't go in the bunkhouse. That's my way of handling it. And then I know that after night, I definitely don't like being in the saloon. And so I don't go into the saloon after night. And so my way of handling it so far is just avoiding places where I would potentially feel creeped out. And then the only other thought that comforts me if I wake up in the middle of the night is that, I mean, you guys might know more of this than I do, but like, I've never heard of a ghost killing anybody. I've heard of them frightening them and doing all sorts of terrible things, but I don't think that my physical body is in harm, right? Mm-hmm. That's my other comforting thought that I tell myself in the middle of the night.
No, I think you're right. It makes sense. You're in a really old ghost town. You know, you're in a place where people died sometimes violently, and the things that you're experiencing, it sounds like it's kind of easily explained. But I'm surprised you're really still sleeping in that one room.
Yeah, I'm a creature of habit, I guess. There's also the fear of the unknown. At least I know what I'm getting into in this room. Who knows what's in the other house? You know, I don't know.
I mean, that's a good point.
The devil you know, definitely.
At least, yeah, that's my thought process.
So we also heard that you were having a Bigfoot experience as well.
Yeah, that one is also on the scale of something that I never thought existed before. But Death Valley National Park is only 5 miles from Cerro Gordo. So I decided one day that I was going to walk to Death Valley and back, 10-mile hike, which is a bit aggressive. But anyways, I was walking, and on the walk back, the sun was starting to set. And yeah, I came across these prints that I don't know what they were. I mean, the only thing it looked like to me was like a massive mammal, human being print. And so I like the website Reddit. So I went on Reddit, and like, I put it on there. They have an animal tracking subreddit where people tell you what it is. And the decision was split. A lot of people think Bigfoot, Yeti. There was some guy that pulled up tracks that they found in the 60s that were very close to these tracks. And then the other half seems to think that it was a giant bear whose footprint partially melted. Neither of which I really want to run into on a hike by myself.
Yeah, good point. Did you post that on your Instagram feed?
I think so. Yeah, I put that on the Instagram feed as well.
Because I would love to go and look at that. And we could send, we've got a friend, Melissa Brackman, who actually, she's got the North American Bigfoot Museum. And they've got all kinds of cool Bigfoot prints out there. So we should get her to take a look at it and see what she thinks. So do you ever go down into the mines?
Yeah, there's 30 miles of mines here. And they're kind of like waiting to be explored. As I've been here, I started going, you know, you go 100 feet back and then you kind of really quickly run back out of the mine in case it collapses or something. Which the thing that comforts me is that these mines have been standing for 150 years. So whether that's the day that they collapse isn't great odds, but yeah, over time I've become more comfortable. I've been going deeper and deeper into some of the mines. Some of the mines go miles back. You know, like
one of the
mines goes 2 miles straight back, which the way you comfort yourself with that is I don't think that I'm 2 miles back into a mountain with tons and tons and tons of rocks over me. I just see it as kind of a cave, and I look at what's on the ground, and you find scraps of old clothes. I found some old scraps of miner's jeans and shirts, and I found a couple of dynamite boxes yesterday. There wasn't dynamite in them, but
boxes
themselves.
And I was like, cool. Oh my gosh. I was like, you're near live dynamite? Get out.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff. We have a museum here at Cerro Gordo, and so any cool thing I find, I try to just bring back and put in the museum so other people can check it out when they come visit.
So what are your plans with the city? Because just everything you're describing sounds incredible. I want to come. I want to check this out.
Well, hopefully eventually we'll want to get to the point where people can come and stay overnight, again, almost like a lodge. The Beltrell House, we were going to put on Airbnb or something. And same with the Gordon House right next to it. The idea is eventually people come, stay in these historic buildings, learn about the town. And I think outside of the history of the town, it's just stunning natural beauty. Like every single building here overlooks Owens Valley and Sequoia National Park. So every building can see Mount Whitney, which is the tallest peak in the U.S.
Wow.
And if you go up to the back of the property, you can see all of Death Valley, which is kind of the lowest peak.
Okay, a couple of things that I want you to do. So on top of opening this up to the public so everybody can come check it out, you also need to do a Netflix documentary on the show so we can see it.
Yeah.
And then,
yes.
And you also need to start planning the horror movie that's going to be based in Cerro Gordo, because it sounds beautiful and picturesque, but it also sounds like the perfect location for something awful to happen.
Well, yeah, I saw a lot of people comparing it to The Shining.
Yes, when I got snowed in, a lot of my friends started texting me, all work, no play, and I didn't really pick up on it first. And there's a huge VHS collection, and The Shining is in the VHS collection. I can't bring myself to watch it up here.
No way.
Yeah,
not
oh my God, especially with the dead kids creeping around in your
room.
Yes, yeah.
No, hell no. You, the last thing you want to see is those twins in one of those buildings.
No.
Right.
Brent, you have to keep us posted. We want to come out and see Cerro Gordo. We want to support this project once you open your doors and are allowing people out there. And man, please send us some pictures so we can share this, because I want to see everything that you're doing right
Same.
Now. It just sounds incredible.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And whenever you come check it out, it's a pretty awesome place, and I'll be sure to send over some photos.
And stay well. What are you eating out there?
Right? Are you out of food yet?
Well, luckily Robert has kind of squirreled food away all over the property, so he's been raiding cabin by cabin to get more food supplies, but you manage, I guess.
This is like an incredible life that you're living right now. I'm seriously jealous.
I know. I want to be you.
Thanks again, and anytime you guys come out, check it out.
All right, Britt. Take care. Thank you so much, and just watch out for those kids.
I will.
So don't forget, next week is going to be our season 3 finale, and we're going to take just a little over 2 months off. In the meantime, we will be sharing content on Patreon, so this is the best time to become a patron. Just go to patreon.com, search Haunted AF. It's only $5 a month, and that way you can keep up with all of the content. And of course, we're going to be posting stuff on social media along the way. So definitely find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, hauntedaf.com. But Patreon is where all of the new content is going
to
go.
And since we are on break, this is a great time to send your stories into hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com. We always need stories. We always say ghost stories, but they don't have to be ghost stories. We love Bigfoot stuff. We love aliens. Maybe you got witchcraft. Bring it all on hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com.
We haven't had a UFO story in a million years, and then we
had
that really awesome glitch in the Matrix story. So send all of those to us, and we'll share them all on the next Haunted AF. All right, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever your platform is that you love listening to. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, or you can chat with us directly on our brand new website, hauntedaf.com. Got to say thanks to Andrew Mamaliga for our theme song and to On Air Media for titles and technical support. And of course, we got to thank you, the listeners. Thanks for listening. By the way, Julie, if I die first, I'm coming back to haunt you. Aw, come back to haunt you too, Rebecca.
Aww.